The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm glad that you have joined us for this lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, where we are learning to love and serve and be like the Master. Thank you so much for joining us for our fifth week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. It has been a wonderful journey, for me at least, and I hope you are having such a blessing as well. As you know, as apprentices of Jesus, we have a motto, a statement that guides us and that should help us to make some decisions, help us to how interact with people, how to resolve problems, should norteate, right? Give us directions as we navigate life. And the motto for Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. What a beautiful motto to live for. Loving God, loving your neighbor, loving ourselves. As you know, we have a memory verse. So if you are with us for this 5 weeks so far, maybe you have memorized 5 Bible verses. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful. 1 Bible verse a week. And this week's Bible verse comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 6. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. Do you mind to repeat after me? And then all people will see the salvation sent from God. That's powerful and beautiful. And I pray that we will be able to have this glimpse of Jesus Christ and help others to see Jesus as well. Today, we'll be studying 3 verses of Luke chapter 3. We'll be studying verse 15, 16, and 17. And here we'll understand a little bit more how John described his relationship with the Messiah. And I tell you, as I was preparing, reflecting, and praying, I saw God speaking to my heart in a special way, and I pray that He will do the same with you. But before we do that, we need to prepare ourselves for this encounter with God. We know that God is always available and inviting us to come to His presence. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. That is God's invitation to come to Him in His presence, to receive His presence, to be in front of the throne where we will receive from God His blessings through grace and mercy. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve, and mercy is not receiving what we deserve. God is a loving God, that He wants to have this relationship with you and bless you. And today, on the message of Luke chapter 3, I think it's very important for us to prepare ourselves for what God has reserved for us. So, I'll give you 1 minute with some music, with some images of nature, so you can calm down, peace down, and prepare yourself for this encounter and prepare yourself for the message of God. And after that minute, we'll come back for a short prayer and then the reflection on those three Bible verses. So I'll see you in a minute. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, for your care, for the invitation that you offer to us every single day to come and have fellowship with you. What a loving God we serve. What a loving God we have. Thank you. Lord, we ask for your direction as we reflect upon verses 15, 16, and 17 of the third chapter of Luke. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In a special way, Lord, bring peace for those that need. Bring healing for those that are hurt. Bring, Lord, salvation, forgiveness for everyone that is listening to my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, take your Bible and let's turn to Luke chapter 3. If you recall, this week we are reflecting on this chapter, and so far we have learned about John Baptist's ministry. Okay, we saw how Luke introduced John. And how John is connected with the one that would prepare for the Messiah, making reference with the book, I would say the gospel, because I do believe Isaiah is a gospel, but the book of Isaiah. Okay? Then we saw the message of John, a strong message, a message that seems even harsh, but as we reflect, realize it's a loving message where God doesn't want to see anyone dying, anyone being lost, but everyone being saved. The message of John shows and declares the desire of God of saving every single person. Then we saw yesterday how people react and say, okay, what we're supposed to do now? We want this kingdom. We accept your call of repentance. So what we're supposed to do now? And we study how John presents the concept of mercy, justice, and humbling, walking before God, referring to Micah 6 verse 8, and how is a translation of the life of Jesus' apprentices. Right? We need to be merciful where we are. We need to bring justice where we are. And we need to be humbly walk before the Lord. So all this conversation, all this preaching, all this ministry create a buzz on that region. And a lot of people went to the wilderness to listen to John and be baptized by John. So that commotion brought some expectation that we see on verse 15. everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. So we understand the concept that the Jewish people was waiting for the Messiah. The first promise of the Messiah comes from the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15, the one that would crush the snake's head. That idea was developed through Abraham, the seed of Abraham, all people of the earth would be blessed. That became a clear picture with Moses, when Moses was revealed that another prophet after him and greater than him would come and lead the people. Then during monarchy, we see David receiving the promise that a kingdom will be established by the one, by the anointed one. A kingdom from the family of David, and that kingdom, this everlasting kingdom, will endure forever. Then the prophets came and talked about the Messiah. So the Messiah was kind of a flame in the life of the Jewish people. But somehow, with John's ministry, with John's preaching, that flame became a fire. He put gas on the fire, in the flame. And people now are really expecting the Messiah, and the Messiah to be revealed soon. John was accomplishing the purpose of his ministry, to prepare the way, to create this expectation for the Messiah. And my question for you today is, as we navigate the Gospel of Luke, can you see your expectation to meet with the Messiah growing? Can you see this flame becoming fire? The desire to be with the Messiah. And I could say this desire comes in two aspects at least. One, yes, the coming of the Messiah in the future at the second coming of Jesus, right? He's coming for those that love and wait his coming. So as we get together, as we study, can you see this desire growing on you? There are some people that they don't want to see Jesus coming soon. They have so many plans. They want to do some traveling. They want to maybe marry. They want to retire. And so if Jesus comes later, it's okay. But for Jesus' apprentices, they want to see the king yesterday, as soon as possible. So, do you see your desire to see Jesus coming, growing as a fire? But also, remember, the kingdom is not something out there for the next day. The kingdom is here. So, the Messiah of the kingdom needs to be right now. So, do you see your desire of having a daily encounter with the Messiah growing as well? Do you remember David writing the Psalms that his soul desires and thirsts the Lord as the animals thirst for water? Can you see your desire to connect and read more, spend more time with God? You know, Jesus' apprentices, they have the desire to be with Jesus every single day. This desire is not natural to our flesh, our human being. It's something that God created in us, and we need to seek and develop. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But this expectation to be with the Messiah needs to be a daily expectation and a future expectation as well. So John was able to create this movement of those that are expecting and looking for the Messiah. So everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. Yes, John, with that powerful ministry, with that glimpse of God's kingdom and how we should behave and how people were being transformed, people start questioning, is he the Messiah? Yes, we know he's from the tribe of Levi. We know that Messiah is from Judah tribe, the tribe of David. But could him be the Messiah? The one, it is so powerful. We have the evidence. Yeah, comes from God. And the next verse show us how John had a clear understanding of who he was and who he was not. And sometimes we make problems for ourselves because we don't understand our role or who we are, and sometimes we behave the way we should not. Right? Each person needs to understand their purpose, their goal. And for instance, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convince us of sin, to point out us to the right path. It's not my purpose to do that. It's the Holy Spirit's purpose. But sometimes people want to be the Holy Spirit and tell and convince people of their wrongdoers, right? So let's understand our role, who we are and who we are not, and live that. And John had a clear understanding of who he was and who he was not. And here, John answered their question, verse 16. John answered their question by saying, I baptize with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. John said, do you see everything going on here? Right? This powerful ministry based on repentance, calling people to change their life, leave the empty and meaningless rituals behind, and be true and faithful to God. You see this powerful ministry and what's happening, this movement of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's not the Messiah yet. His ministry, his person is great than I am. And he tries to explain how great and powerful will be this ministry by the next phrase, as he says, so much greater than I am, not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. You don't understand, it is so great. Great that I'm not even worthy to be the slave of taking care of his sandals and the straps of his sandal. And I think we need to understand a little bit of the culture here. At the time, they didn't have pavement everywhere. The majority didn't have, the roads didn't have pavement, right? It was dust roads, gravel roads, and they didn't have proper shoes. They had those sandals, open sandals, that basically was a base of leather, right? With some straps of sometimes leather as well. So every time people would go to someone's house, their foot were very dirty, right? So back then they start taking the sandals out, right, and cleaning people's feet. Well, the problem was that according to the rabbis in the teachings understanding, the person that was responsible to clean someone's feet were not supposed to be a Jewish person. A Jewish person could not have that position. That was not a job for a Jewish person. So they would hire someone or have a slave to do that job. A Jewish person would not wash someone's feet. Well, we see this tension at the Last Supper. there is no servant there to do that job. And the disciples say, I cannot. I'm a Jewish person. Who I am to wash? No. I cannot wash other people's feet. But what we see, Jesus is so greater that he's able to come and be humble and clean other people's feet. But John is saying, he's so greater that even if was allowed me to be a slave, I would not be worthy to be his slave to take care of his sandals. That shows how John understood Jesus, his ministry, and how he understood his ministry. An important ministry of preparing the way, but not the ministry. And here we have now, he's declaring a little bit more about the ministry of the Messiah and the ministry of God's kingdom, in a sense. Continue verse 16, last part. He, the Messiah, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow, what we have here. John saying, hey, the experience that you have with me is an experience of repentance. But the spirit, the experience that you have with him, it is experience that is identified as a experience of the Holy Spirit and the experience of fire. What that could mean? Yeah, you know, there is so many ways to see here, but let's try to unpack. As we know, the Holy Spirit has been around all the time at the creation of the world. Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit is there. So it's not that the Holy Spirit would be available for humankind after the Messiah. No, the Holy Spirit has been around. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one that bestowed life upon us. Without the Holy Spirit around, everybody would die, right? Some people say, oh, that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Everyone has the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, people will be dead at this moment. Maybe they don't allow the Holy Spirit to manifest. Maybe they close their ears to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in their life. Otherwise, they will not be walking. Paul says the Holy Spirit is the one that bestows the salvation on us, that applies the salvation in us. So the Holy Spirit has been around all the time. However, after the Messiah, the Holy Spirit receives a new assignment. An assignment that is only able to be real after the experience of the Messiah. And what is this assignment that is only possible after Jesus? Well, I think Luke will give us some direction in the book of Acts. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus said to his disciples, go and go back to Jerusalem and stay there until we receive the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, the Holy Spirit comes as fire upon not 12 people, but upon 120 people. Okay, the Pentecost. So wait there to receive power. Power for what? What is this new assignment that the Holy Spirit receives after Christ? And you will be my witness. It's starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, until the ends of the earth. So now the Holy Spirit, this new assignment of the Holy Spirit, it is about people being able to be witness. And what is a witness? Witness is someone that has seen, has experienced, heard something, and now is declaring that. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us to have, to be witness. What that means? The Holy Spirit comes to help us to have a relationship, an experience with the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit comes so we can share that experience with others. And here is very, very important. John's experience would not be able to empower you to have an experience with the Messiah. That was just after the Messiah and after something that the Holy Spirit do. But the Holy Spirit comes for us to be able to have this relationship and share this relationship, being a witness. The Holy Spirit comes for us to be a witness, not a lawyer or a judge. You see, some people, they think they are judges. They think their role is to judge people. Some feel that they are able even to judge God. But there are people that they think their work or their role is to be judged, judging people, passing qualities, and all that. But that's not who we are. We are called to be what? Witness, not judge. Other people feel the responsibilities to be lawyers, advocates of God, trying to defend God, try to defend the right theology, try to defend the right behavior. And see, God doesn't need lawyers, attorneys. God can defend himself. God is a big boy that he can take care of himself. God doesn't need judges because he is the judge. He doesn't need attorneys because he can take care of himself. What God needs is witness. People that have an experience with him and can share that experience with others. But most of the time, we use the hat of judges or attorneys. And we want to prove the right theology, the right day of worship, the right day of this and the right day of that and the right, and you are wrong, I'm right, that's the God, that's not your God. Right? We come and we don't understand. Yeah, there's a place for, let's say, the right theology or the proper behavior. There's a place for that. I understand the value. But that is not what God is calling us. It's not that our purpose. I know archaeology can help to prove this, biblical language. It's all important. But the most evidence that God is real, the most powerful argument about the right theology or the power of the Bible, that the Bible is reliable. The most powerful argument are its life transforms. When a life is transformed, and there is no other way a life being transformed by any other book or any other program, but only by the Bible, that is the most powerful evidence of God and the Bible. So God doesn't need judges or attorneys. He need witness. People that have experiencing God and are able to share that experience with others. So the Holy Spirit comes with this new assignment to give us the opportunity to have an experience with Jesus. Then help us to report that experience. And the fire comes to purify. So Jesus' apprentices, they are people that are having an experience with Jesus. And then when they realize that their ways, their way of thinking, feeling, behavior is not in alignment with the Messiah, the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit must burn, purified by the fire. And we die for yourselves and adopt a new way. A new way to resolve problems, a new way of dealing with people, a new way of loving, a new way of serving, a new way that is not boosting yourself or making sure that people understand that I'm right and everybody is wrong, but a new way that will show justice, mercy, and being humble before God. You see how powerful is the message and the concept of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit and the fire? And John says here, and he brings that idea of judgment again on verse 17. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with the winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. What he's saying? The Messiah will come to save. You see, judgment, the message of judgment, almost all the time in the Bible, is connected with the message of repentance and opportunity to be saved. So the message of judgment is not a message to bring fear, but a message to bring us hope and salvation. Judgment in the Bible comes with a call of repentance. So the fire, so this process of separating is putting aside something that will be burned, but at the same time, he's separating what is right, separating the ones, is a salvation of the ones from the cleft, right? Is the separation of the wheat, putting aside and saving them. So this message of judgment is a message of salvation for those that receive and accept repentance. And God is in the business of trying to save people. And 2 Peter 3:9 says that God has not come yet because he's waiting for people to make a decision for him, because he doesn't want to see anyone losing eternal life. He wants to see everyone being saved. 2 Peter 3:9, read that Bible verse. So the message of judgment is a message of hope. Is a message of salvation that is available for you and for me right now. So, I have a few questions for you. Are you experiencing the Holy Spirit and the fire in your life right now? It is interesting that many people in Christianity, they want to experience the John baptism experience, just the repentance. And they want to wash their hands and say, okay, I'll see you in heaven. I repented, my sins are forgiven, I'm out of here. But what Jesus brings, the Messiah brings, is the Holy Spirit and the fire to bring opportunity for us to have an experience with Jesus. A fire to clean us, to purify us, to make us more like Jesus. What kind of experience you're having? The John experience or Jesus experience? And are you being a judge, an attorney, or a witness? And for you to be a witness, you need to experience Jesus every single day. You need to have this desire for the Messiah here and now and tomorrow as well. That is how the people, the citizens of the kingdom, Jesus' apprentices, they should behave. And I pray that's the way you're living your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your invitation, your love invitation. And I pray, Lord, that we'll have this desire to be with Jesus every single day. And that will create an experience, a relationship that we can share with others, because our lives were transformed by the fire, purified. So we claim for the Holy Spirit in our lives. We claim for the fire. So through that experience, we can become more like you. Forgive our sins, Lord, and help us to be faithful apprentices of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go for our questions of reflection. So, what is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? And how can I share these lessons with others today? I pray you reflect upon that and you'll apply that for your life. And I pray that we'll be witness of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and His purifying ministry in our lives. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.